tried to beat as one, two minds with a single thought. But oh, how heartless fate will have her fun, the gods torment men for their sport. It seemed as if by fate their love had begun, like two planets mysteriously drawn near. But some false god preferred the ties undone that might have held them dear. David said, "This is wrong, I must turn into a man. I never should have surrendered, but resisted you when this began." John said, "In fact, you know I attract you. Your inmost nature will always break through. Why struggle? Oh, forget this misgiving, or you'll be giving up loving and living. And remember, I also love you." One false idea despoiled a lifetime of bliss. One small opinion destroyed. One little complex just served to prejudice the love they might have enjoyed. Attention to convention, trying to attain what nature did perhaps not intend. The feeling something's lost, one ought to regain. Those pointless efforts to amend. A sense of guilt, perhaps of uncleanliness, made the thing too hopeless to go on. Yes, one little flaw in all their friendliness divided David from John. Such pain is caused by ill-acquired second-hand ideals, from which we're forbidden to depart. In vain we try to stifle the appeals of our own real nature, our own inner heart. No lovers, no twin brothers, no passionate friends, more ideally suited could be frowned. They'd all the points on which a friendship depends, and endless common ground. In mood and temperament, reciprocal souls, in taste and fancy the same. They'd be immune from all the typical tolls life takes in its ironic game. But suddenly, just as paradise loomed near, the chance of bliss was lost and gone. For deep in David woke a sickening fear that parted David from